analyzing the spectrum. Okay, so it's 5:34. We'll start the work session for tonight's meeting. You guys all have the agenda. So first on, why don't we bring Al up here? And I was with Al earlier today when we opened up the bids for the project. And I'll let him report on it.
It went really well. Here's a copy of the bid tab for everybody. McGinnis Nelson was low bid at $139,640.30. This is our last low bid was $268, I believe. So this is a significant reduction. So that's the base bid for the project. We also did an RFP for stone, which I have right.
And what did you do to lower this?
We pulled out the stone. Oh, did this now? Did I gotta get it off? Center. Either way, the stone price came in at $32,500, which is lower than county bid by about $1,500 by doing an RFP for the aggregate for this project. So with that, the asphalt cost of $51,500 estimated brings our grand total for the project to $227,000, basically $228,000. So this is our updated pavement management work plan for 2017. We are pretty tight still, but we can get there. All of my asphalt numbers still have about a 10% contingency in asphalt quantity, just because of variations in mill depth, any binder repairs. This reflects the total cost for the Mercer Street project, including the survey. So that brings our total to $660,600. Gene has spent about $37,000 of the budget to date, so we're right in there. We're pretty tight, but it looks like we can get all the work done. The one thing I would say that if we get tight in the end, I would say that we chip seal Drake's instead of fiber micro it. It's been chip sealed in the past, and we actually have a significant amount of the stone needed for that already in the yard. So there's about a $50,000 increase to go to the fiber micro rather than chip sealing.
So the fallback plan is chip seal Drake's
rather than
and still fog line it.
Yeah, rather than fiber micro it.
All right, I'm hoping to report on some good news for some funds coming from Onondaga County. I don't have specifics, but the legislature a few months back passed a motion allowing a certain amount of money, I don't know what it was, maybe $500,000, to be allocated towards projects for villages and towns.
Yeah, infrastructure improvement.
So we put in, We asked for a good chunk. I'd be surprised if we asked for the 200.
We asked for the 251,000.
251,000 in there, but if you don't ask, you don't get.
Well, exactly. Go big or go home.
So we might have a little bit more room, gotcha. But we're not banking on that. So
yeah, at this point in time, it looks like we're in pretty good shape. I mean, it's tight, but like I said, I still have about a 10% asphalt contingency in my numbers, and that's just, you know, to accommodate for depth of the, you know,
where was
mill
your
thickness.
Where was your estimate at?
For Mercer Street?
Mercer.
250. And we're at two.
Yep.
228.
Gotcha.
So we've gotcha. Done good. We're
that's good to hear.
We're where we need to be.
You have any thoughts on, you know, why there's such an incredible spread?
It was all in the under drain number. I talked to McGinnis Nelson today. So the next closest under drain number to them was $6 a foot higher, as you can see. So they were at 545. The next closest number is J J.K. Tobin at 1075. And they said they're comfortable with it. Their 12-inch pipe price is about 10 bucks less a foot than everybody else, too. So those are the two big items that are...
Which was the other 12? Number 3 and what was the other?
Number 3 and number 5 are the two that are really low. They're comfortable with their numbers. They say they can do it for that. And there was one, so their bid sheet for the drainage structures showed $40,000 even. When you actually do the math by the unit cost, it's $39,999.30. That's why that cell and the total cell is different. By the contract language, the unit cost prevails. So their actual bid price was $139,641. But when you do the math on it, it's 70 cents lower. And I pointed it out to them. But I just want everybody to know that's why those two cells are shaded.
Gotcha. And has McGinnis Nelson done work for us before?
Yeah, the last project they did was the family bathroom at the town park. I worked with them on a project in Manlius in the past. They did fine work. They're a reputable contractor. They've been around for quite a while. I'm not concerned. I got a pretty good tight spec to the project, so I don't see.
On a side note, just to report to the board, Al, myself, and Tony had an opportunity to meet with J.K. Tobin. Did we give them a copy of Tobin's attorney's letter?
Yeah, you emailed it to everybody. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So just to report, obviously they had some concerns about some of the comments that were made about previous work not being finished. They'd mentioned that they weren't even aware of any work that was undone. They'd never received a letter from us. They were somewhat concerned that they were disparaged publicly. In their letter, it made it seem like they were under the belief that as low bidder during the last round of bids, that they lost the bid because of those reasons. And I quickly set up a meeting with Tony and Al to explain to them, and we did transcribe all of the, all of our comments so they could see specifically that the bid was rejected because it was higher than our estimates, and it had nothing to do with comments that were made about work not previously done. And actually, by the end of the meeting, it was, looking at it from an optimistic point of view, it was a chance for us to get to know the owner of the company, who's owned the company for what, over 55 years. Great guy. And when we walked away from that meeting, I think
it was a good
better
thing.
Off. It was a good meeting.
Yeah. Well, and let the record show that the comments that Tobin was alluding to were not made by any member of the board. We were clear that this was strictly a dollar issue, and
yeah.
The comments were made by the highway superintendent for whatever reason, I don't know. So just want to make that part of the record.
Okay. But, it benefited us to put it out to bid. I mean, it's within
reach.
It's within reach. And it's a project that, as mentioned, needs to be done. And I'm glad that we're going to have a shot at doing it this year.
Yep.
And Al, it's not fair of me to put you on the spot, but I'll do it anyway.
Thanks, Bob.
It's August 3rd. Should this board, from your vantage, have any level of concern that we've only spent $37,000?
Gene and I met with Barrett today. Barrett's scheduled to move into Chatham Woods on Tuesday, and upon completion of that project, move over to Whispering Oaks to start milling that. All the concrete work has been, shouldn't say that. All the concrete work that needs to be done for the Whispering Oaks project is formed. Gene hasn't been able to get a truck yet. Supposedly we got concrete coming Monday, if it doesn't rain all day. We're going to get it done. Okay. We're going to get it done. I hope. It's really beyond my control, but
fair enough.
No, I appreciate that.
But we gotta reasonable plan.
Yeah, McGinnis Nelson actually said they'd get me shop drawings for the Mercer Street catch basins. They authorized Jefferson Concrete to prepare them. They said they'd try to get them to me tomorrow or Monday. So that that's the time-sensitive thing in this. The castings, we've got 17 castings for structures that all need to be done ahead of time. Jefferson, last time of catch basin I ordered from them was about a three-week backlog. So they get those ordered next week. Hopefully they'll be there on site on September 1st, and they estimate 4 weeks to complete the project. So it's a little later than we'd like, but they can get it done.
That's reasonable.
Okay. All right, want to move on to Collington?
Sure. So this is, I met with the developer and the DOT about the county planning board comment of involving DOT in further discussion on this project. And what I really want to call your attention to under suggestions, the third bullet is really what I can see this as being a good idea.
Right now, the plan is just two lanes, one in, one out, and you're suggesting a turning lane out?
No, not exactly. That would really be a planning board decision at this point in time. But what I am thinking is maybe, so I'm familiar, Town of New Hartford actually has a overlay district, a traffic improvement overlay district along what's a commercial drive. And it's to fund intersection improvements as that's a commercial corridor, as that commercial corridor is developed, so that one developer at the end isn't paying for all the traffic improvements. So my idea, because of Cold Springs Peninsula, is just residential development, same type of thing. You would do an overlay district, and any new lots created would pay a fee toward intersection improvements when the DOT indicated they were necessary.
So that turn lane would be on 370.
The turn lane would actually be for this one would be at Collington Point Way. So you do a left hand or right hand turn lane at Collington Point Way in this instance. So reduce the queuing.
Okay.
But the idea is to set money aside so the last the development that
goes in last doesn't
goes
pay
in
the
last and bumps up the volume that little bit
that
end up
takes us over the level of service threshold doesn't pay the whole shot. And I will discuss with the planning board about, you know, maybe now is the time to have the developer of Collington Point add the turning lane on Collington Point Way, and if another piece gets developed, have them add a turning lane in Shanagary type of thing to address those two. That's a problem.
How big of a district are you thinking about?
I was thinking the whole Cold Springs Peninsula, any new lot on the Cold Springs Peninsula.
So outside of the village from?
From south of 31, all the way to the river. Any new lot that's created would pay a fee.
What about?
Including Timber Banks, Whitetail Woods, all the existing developments over there. When they file the final plat, they pay a fee.
This kind of ties into it a little bit. Alan, you met with Al, came in.
Newiski.
He lives on River Road.
North of 31.
North of 31. But development pressures on River Road have, you know, should we look at River Road north of 31? There's a lot of development on that.
Not really. That's kind of, all you've got is Longview going in there.
Is there any opportunity for other development?
Not a lot, no. And I do believe that Al's complaint is...
More of a speed complaint.
It is a speed complaint. It's not a volume complaint. And I know what he's saying. He's saying he sees the same group of motorcyclists come by every night at with loud pipes and at a very high rate of speed. He sees people. I mean, I think if you did a speed study on River Road, you'd find the 85th percentile speed is probably between 60 and 65 miles per hour, just like it is on 370.
Actually, that's one of the things that I'm going to propose if we get through the work session items that we consider. He came in and he sat with me for about an hour, made a very good case that we should look at that.
I mean, one of the interesting things that came out of the meeting with the DOT was one of the traffic engineers indicated that their last traffic study, the 85th percentile speed on 370 east of the village, heading towards the 370 bridge, was 63 miles an hour. It's pretty fast for all the intersections that are intersections that are in that corridor. We can't ask for speed studies on DOT roads. That's their turf. I certainly would be willing to put a bug in the ear of Betsy Parmalee, who is the new traffic safety engineer for Region 3.
SMTC just did a study on 370, didn't they?
They did.
What were the results of?
That's where that 63 mile an hour.
That's where you got the.
Yeah, that's what they cited. So that's that's a concern, and this is something I just wanted to bring. If the board's interested, I can print off the section of New Hartford Town Code, which is a little different because it's a commercial area, but it would be the same type of idea.
No, I think it makes sense.
It
makes sense.
What kind of fee do they pay there? You know?
Theirs is based on improvement value because it's commercial. So if you're building a $3 million facility, building a $200,000 facility, where this would just, I think you do it as a flat per lot fee because any new lot creates new traffic volume.
So in the meantime, what do we want to do about Collington Point? This new
right now, that's a planning board decision, totally a planning board decision. The DOT has recommended some more visible signage. It's the state road, so I got to talk to the resident.
We've had a lot of complaints.
I know, it's 370. I don't think they've gotten to mowing that yet this year. I got to call into the acting Onondaga County West resident engineer. So that really falls into their jurisdiction, not ours. Why they commented it like it should be something
but,
the town would
maybe
do.
I'm confused. Are you talking about exiting from Collington Point onto Patchett Road?
Collington onto 370.
Collington Point way out to 370.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where the improvement was made years ago?
Yeah.
And is there room to put a turning lane there?
Yeah, we have an 80-foot right of way there.
Okay.
Yeah, what does number four say?
The traffic impact study indicates there's a level of service D based.
What'd you say?
Level of service
D based on the SYNCHRO, which is it's essentially a program. It's an acronym for a program that's used to study traffic volumes. So basically, what it's saying is that there's
northbound traffic.
Yep. Minimal delay at this leg of the intersection. Okay. So that's the existing. That's on the south side of 370. Yep. That would be the Abbott's Landing section.
So are you saying? And I don't want to get too into this, but currently you're saying the intersection allows partial passing when turning movements are made. Meaning you're just kind of going around someone on the shoulder?
On the right, yes.
But isn't that illegal?
No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, there's no fog line.
If you go off the road. Yeah.
Technically, if there was a fog line, you couldn't pass on the right, but there's no fog lines. So
it happens often.
Oh, I know it happens. I do it all the time.
It
is illegal.
It is. I think it's only illegal if... I may be mistaken on this. I think it's only illegal if there's actually a fog line, a pavement delineation marker saying that you can't go on the right.
And it's failure to keep left. My wife was warned on that. I know for a fact.
Yes.
So the planning board, which is that's their job. They're reviewing this petition.
Yeah, our next meeting is next week, Thursday, obviously, and I plan on discussing this with them.
bring you up to speed.
All right, so what do we want to do? We're going to wait for Al to give us some...
But yeah, I mean, if it's something you want to consider, I can do some research on what other municipalities have done and get you that stuff, and then we can go from there. If it's something we want to act on, we can... It would have to be a zoning overlay, and which is a local law, so you got to go through the whole local law process.
Seems appropriate.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay.
Question, yeah, would you then establish a fund by law that the money would have to go into?
Yep.
Just like a park fund? Or
correct,
whatever?
Yep, exactly.
A reserve account.
Reserve account. You know, I think it's probably going to be a pretty high fee. I'll be perfectly honest. Traffic improvements aren't cheap. Turning lanes aren't cheap. Signal lights aren't cheap.
We don't want to get into that. Do we own a signal
light? We don't want to own a signal. Any signal lights that would be on 370, we would want the DOT to own. We don't own any signal lights. We don't want to own any signal lights. We would be willing to pay for them and turn them over to the DOT.
Right.
If it came to that. Ideally, we would, any developer that went over the threshold would be required to pay the remaining balance above and beyond what we had in the account to do the traffic improvement and have his engineer design the project and bid it.
So how do you come up with setting a fee?
So that's where we'll have to just take an estimate.
Yes.
Estimate on how many lots can be developed and what the average cost of an improvement would be. I mean, like a turning lane on a local road like the Collington Point Way, you're pushing $100,000 by the time you're all said and done. And that's assuming no utility relocates, which shouldn't be, I mean, that's fairly realistic out there. But on 89 lots, so that's $1,100 a lot. Approximately.
So, and the argument that we would make in terms of why those who are already there are not paying is things worked up to that point.
Correct.
We've reached a critical mass.
Yep.
That now and I think it's absolutely appropriate. Any new development pays for that in a shared way.
It's very similar to, you know, in lieu of parks.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have an impact on parks. So.
Well, it's a little different, though, because if 100 houses up to this point, our roads are perfectly fine. You can turn all day long and there's never an issue. But 101, you've reached a critical mass where now you need a turning lane.
Yeah, you just don't want to see that level of service go below where it's at.
Dangerous, right?
Yeah.
So from this point forward, folks should. So we ought to get on this like right away.
And I would jump on, do some research because more minds on it. You know, Al is.
I'm kind of.
He's to the wall.
Yeah,
so jump online and
I know,
look at. Do some research.
I believe
that.
Colony has done something similar around the airport, and town of Colony and the town of Hartford is the other one that I am aware of. Both of those were in commercial areas, though. So.
Yeah.
So this is the first one that I'm aware of where I would be doing something in a residential area.
How am I going to find this when you say
just look up impact fees, traffic impact fees?
Or go to those two town websites and look at their town code for review their town code for. District overlays and the zoning code.
Okay. All right.
But I'll certainly, those two, I know where to find them. I can get you those two. And there's probably other examples out there that I'm just not familiar with. Are you aware of any, Tony?
Not specifically, no. But I was just going to say, if you go to Google, you'd be surprised what you can find.
Oh, you just go New York State traffic impact.
Yeah,
fees.
Stuff like that. Google will spit out a lot of stuff.
He's pretty smart.
Yeah, he is.
He could be she.
I saw a sitting the other day that says
I think
need
you
Google.
Can select.
My wife knows everything.
That'd be smart.
So that's still running. All right, so are we all set there? I thought I'd share with you a conversation that I had with Alan Naruski. And he lives over there on 9123 River Road. I mentioned it briefly in the previous conversation. Came into town hall and gave me a lot of detail on his research as far as the speed along River Road from Route 31 all the way up through Phoenix. There's a number of different speed changes. They range from as low as 35 miles an hour up to 55 miles an hour. Based on his concern and his description of what he's seeing on his road, and he's been there for a while, it might warrant us to float a motion to have a study done and to see what we come back with on that section from...
I think that was looked at relatively recently.
Okay.
I'll give Betsy Parmalee a call.
All right.
And see... I think that was looked at fairly recently.
So check that out. Otherwise, we can put that on the agenda for the next meeting. Float that motion. And then the other thing, and again, we mentioned it, we got to reach out to the state to get some mowing done on Route 370. It's getting hairy. I've gotten a couple phone calls this week
on the weeds that are. Route 370?
East of the village, basically. They haven't mowed 370 really? East of the village, I don't think at all yet this year.
Yeah, so given the speed that was just shared, 63 miles an hour pulling out on 370.
Even nosing out into the shoulder is sketchy.
Yeah. So, we're talking about traffic, we're talking about safety, I think we definitely need to acknowledge the unfortunate accident involving the young student earlier in the week around the Y. I don't want to knee-jerk any kind of reaction to that from an infrastructure standpoint, but I think it, needs to be acknowledged that the increased traffic there and the lack of shoulders on that road. It's not a wide road at all.
No, I think you got a 5-foot shoulder on either side of the fog line on that.
And the entire stretch?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll start poking around a little bit. I mean, one of my concerns of having the Y located there was that, the Y and the services that it provides
draw
the
kids
draw kids. And kids are riding bikes on the shoulder. Kids are walking along the shoulder. There's River Knoll that's close that has a lot of kids that I'm sure are making their way to the River Knoll apartments on 31.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if they're cutting the corner through the back.
Actually, there is a trail.
I'm sure there's a trail.
Yeah.
There's always a trail. But eventually they got to cross there anyways.
It's where the sanitary sewer force main comes from.
Yeah.
They've got a trail.
Actually, I've been on that trail.
They've got a trail cut through there.
So, I think it warrants our attention. And I don't know to what level, but I think, we should familiarize ourselves with what happened and see if there's anything that would be prudent on the town's behalf to hopefully never see anything like that happen again. So, can't guarantee that, but I mean,
it is a county road.
Yeah. So, all right. Other than that, I don't know. Do you guys have anything you want to add for discussion?
I just have some questions on agenda.
Okay. Go for it.
I just was nothing negative, just a blank on item J, what the GEMS GEMS summer camp program is and what we're doing there. We're paying teachers to do something.
Yeah, so last year what happened was, I mean, the salaries are the same as last year.
So we did this last year?
We did. They weren't our employees then. Right now, we're putting them on as employees.
Okay, so what's going on?
So this is a partnership between Parks and the school district. It's a program focused on girls in math and science. And I think I think we've done this for more than a couple of years.
I'm not sure how long.
But because the school, this is a Parks program, they can't pay their teachers through their payroll. So that's why we had to put them on our payroll. Actually, in the end, they're probably going to end up making less because of because of their SUI and FUTA and all the stuff that's going to be associated with the payroll taxes. But they're being paid at the same rate, and this is the rate of pay that they would make if they were working for the school. So Tony's going to be here just prior to the meeting. Probably he'll get here about 10 minutes before. So if you want any more detail besides that, he'll be here.
Yeah, because it doesn't answer my question. I still don't understand the program.
We paid
them last year?
Yes.
Or did the schools pay them?
We paid them.
We paid the school, and the school paid the payroll.
Right.
And so in this year, the school has said that legally they can't do the payroll through them. They want them to,
they can't collect monies
to pay their teachers. The monies that they pay their teachers with, they have to collect through the tax roll system. So they're correcting that, and instead of us paying a fee to them for the teachers, we're paying the teachers will actually be our employees, and we'll pay the salary.
So then, if the partnership, what are they providing? The school.
The school, the classroom, the facilities.
I guess I don't want to sound negative, but I don't know why we're doing this program. I mean, what does this have to do with Parks and Rec?
I think it's like any other program that we would offer. It's focused on girls in math and science. It's just another program service that the park offers. Program.
Is this in our budget?
Yeah, it's.
I think
it's
there's
funded.
A revenue. Yeah,
yeah, so they generate revenue. Line. They generate revenue.
You have to pay for the camp.
So this program pays for itself?
That I don't know.
I couldn't tell you that. Yeah.
So we need to talk to Tony. Because I don't remember passing, I guess because you're saying the school paid for it, I don't remember passing a resolution.
We wouldn't have to because it was already in the budget. So it was just a fee we paid to the school for the program. So there wouldn't have been a budget resolution for it.
Maybe that's why I don't remember it, right?
Yeah, my only recollection in talking with Tony was I just wanted to make sure, because if it was a parks program, it was run at the school district, I just wanted to make it involve kids. I was very, I just wanted to make sure that we were covered from a insurance standpoint, which we are.
So G, I have one correction on that. When I talked to the developer yesterday, he originally told me lots 35 and 36, and when the plans came in today, they only show lot 35. So on motion G, it's only culvert pipe behind lot 35.
Not 36.
Okay. Motion D, what I've done is I proposed a local law number 5, which in effect will allow the town board to set the fees by resolution for the park fees. We remember we talked about changing them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of changing them to a number, what I did was to say that proposed subdivision, the board, planning board, may condition its approval of the subdivision upon payment to the town of a fee set by the town board by resolution, which sum shall be deposited in a trust fund, blah, blah, blah. So it allows us to set the fees by resolution. We don't have to do a local law every time we change the fees.
That's perfect.
So it just makes it a little bit easier. Here's a copy.
Okay.
We're not setting the fees.
All we're doing is allowing us to set the fees.
Okay,
and what we do, maybe in September, we'll adopt a resolution setting the fees if everybody agrees on what they should be. Just do that.
And I'll go, just because Pete already asked me about this, we can, after you guys get done reading that, we can talk about Al.
Which is this okay? It says to be used exclusively for the acquisition and development of parks. Should that say acquisition and or development, or is it okay to say and? Because supposing we just want to use the money for development of existing parks, like for example the Sprague parks.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I took that from what's in the code now, but I can change it because we can. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if someone could read this and say, well, no, it's acquisition and development of, that the presumption would be a new park. Whereas I think what we all want is either an acquisition
or
development of something else or development of something else.
I can change that.
So maybe we put the word and or in
there. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's fine. And or development. I'll change that, and then when Dina's puts it on the thing, it'll be changed.
So one of the things that we're going to start focusing on is, you know, once we get our policy, I'd like to have those policies wrapped up by next meeting, because we've got to start diving into our code. And you know, we passed some laws last year. We've got to update that. We have to put an update in the general code. I think a previous administration attempted to do that, but some things were inadvertently left out. Planning
they did
board.
They gave a full review and comments that we just need to review and give them some feedback on. And I think it'll end up being a local law by the time we're all said and done, but let's try to do it all in one
yeah,
local law.
Yeah, changes, adopted changes.
Adopt all the changes.
There's a lot, I can tell you, there's a lot of things in our code that are old, mm-hmm. not correct.
Yeah.
This one, actually, this law here, if you look at our code, those numbers that are currently...
Did they reference?
Not in the code. They were done afterwards, but they haven't been updated by general code publishers.
Yeah, so what's published online is old and it's not accurate at this point in time. So motion F, typically the developer posts a bond or a letter of credit for the 3 years. In this instance, the developer posted cash. So we just need to do a resolution. So the bond or the letter of credit would just expire after 3 years. In this instance, we have cash, so we just have to do a resolution for Dave to cut the check to give it back to him.
Cash is always better.
Well, absolutely, but we got to give it back to him once his three-year waiting period's up. So that's why you typically don't see those, but you do in this instance.
Thank you. The other thing, I made some comments. I don't know if everybody was here. Over the last couple weeks, you know, we've experienced the same power outages that a lot of the folks in Radisson have experienced. Really unprecedented. It's been interesting. I mean, one day we actually had to delay opening for an hour or two, and every time it does that, it messes with our computers. It hurts the compressors for the air conditioners. It's wear and tear on this building, and I know it was brought up and considered by the previous administration. But what I'd like to propose in budget for next year is having a backup generator. You know, when things go south, you know, you want your government, especially your local government, to be up and running for a number of reasons. You want it to be in a place where you know you can rely on it's functioning. You want it in an emergency to be a coordination center, a place that you can go. So that brought me to another interesting point in looking and working with Dina and even calling Onondaga County EMS. The town doesn't seem to have an emergency management plan. So I've reached out to Assemblyman Barkley, letting him know that this is on our agenda as far as consideration for next year's budget. We'll be talking through this in the budget process. Also, I've been in touch with the American Red Cross to determine what this facility needs to have to be considered an emergency shelter. I know the village has a backup generator. I know Town of Van Buren has a backup generator. I think they did theirs 6 or 7 years ago, and they received their generator through a member item, Assemblyman Magnarelli. So there's a couple things. There's, I think, a need for a generator to make sure that we don't go dark in emergencies, and then putting together a plan if there happens to be an emergency so that we know, you know, what the procedures are for certain things. Basically, you know, because the town doesn't have any emergency services that we're directly involved with, like we don't have a police department, we don't have a town fire department, we have fire departments that cover us. You know, basically my job is to get out of the way, stay informed so that I can communicate with our constituents, but if there was a catastrophic event that hit Lysander, Onondaga County Emergency Management would come in and probably run the show. But they would probably most likely be coordinating with our highway department if they needed debris cleared. he'd certainly be coordinating emergency first responders efforts. And I just thought that this would be a nice nerve center. I don't know the whole layout of Lysander as far as where those emergency shelters are, but if they are located in firehouses, you don't necessarily want people, you know, congregating around heavy equipment in an emergency bays. And we, this is a nice area we could run. This could be the nerve center where we house people. We have big rooms, we have a shower, we have a kitchen. You know, there's some other requirements that we might have to have on hand, cots and such. I talked to Claude Sykes, but I received a rough outline of an emergency management plan, and tonight I'm going to propose that we put together a committee that would probably be asked to meet once or twice. Basically, the emergency management plan is a boilerplate document, but there are certainly areas within the plan where we can customize it to Lysander. So I would propose, I've already reached out to Mr. Hogan, Baldwinsville Ambulance Corps. I would like to reach out to all the chiefs in the fire departments. Gene, I'd like to have on that committee. Al, from an infrastructure perspective, the chief of police or his designee from the village of Baldwinsville, and maybe somebody from county emergency management to help us.
I was going to say two other people, maybe somebody from WEP, because they maintain our pump stations and sewers.
Yep.
And then somebody from the village, probably Steve Gargangelo for the water system that they manage for us.
And on that note, I mean, it just strikes me that this is a wonderful opportunity for a cooperative effort. Would we not want to set a committee together with Van Buren, Baldwinsville, and Lysander? And to just talk about, you know, this is our community. This is the Baldwinsville community. What do we do in the event of an emergency?
Mm-hmm.
And Lysander has a piece. Beeville has a piece. Van Buren has a piece. Probably the school system has a piece. But it seems to me that we could do a really good top shelf job if we just at least talk to our neighbors in putting this plan together.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because if you're a resident, and you're a resident of the town of Lysander, but you live in the village of Baldwinsville, where do you go?
Well, yeah.
Beeville's doing this, and Lysander's doing, where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah, and again, it was, we did a plan in the village years ago when Tim Baker was the engineer, and as mayor of the village of Baldwinsville, even though we had a police department, it was my job to get out of the way.
Well,
you immediately relinquish it, you relinquish it to Onondaga County EMS. And now you do anything you can. You bring in your DPW crews. You know you're a communicator, but
I think it's commendable, Joe. I think you're on the right track. Yeah.
Is there a need for a generator at the highway?
Hang on one second.
I'm not
mistaken. The previous administration did set up an emergency management plan. I believe Dan McCarter was having a problem.
That was just for
maybe
the.
It never got completed.
That was only for IT infrastructure.
So for IT. Yeah, we have IT
technology,
yeah. And that'll be included. So yep. We could.
Oh, that's important, but it's not the only.
Exactly. So we'll incorporate whatever his findings were from an IT perspective into it.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, I just think we're really well suited to play a role in that. So Gene, would you be willing to sit on that committee?
Probably
stand. Stand. All right. Stand. Sit. Hover. All right, that's I guess that's all I got. Yeah.
I had one thing. The highway committee met earlier this week, and we talked extensively about prepping for the 2018 budget. But Gene brought up that he would love to do some research, spend some time getting estimates for trucks,
mm-hmm.
but didn't want to waste his time or our time if that wasn't even.
No, I think Gene and I had that discussion a while back.
We've had it for 2 years, the old administration and this one. But I just to be well known that I'm not going to spend any, I'm not going to set up, I didn't bring a lunch. I'm just going to pass out. Yeah, but it's for a big truck, for a snowplow. For each of you.
one more.
And this is the. I should have. Oh no. This is for the patrol truck. The current patrol truck has 176,000 miles on it. And I don't feel secure sending a person out to patrol at night in the dark by themselves in a vehicle with 176,000 miles on it. Everybody got one?
Just Tony.
Yeah, just Tony. Okay. So anyway, this is a preliminary, you know, estimate to be fine-tuned. It'll bring you into the dollar range so that you're forewarned of what you're looking for. And by my count, we have over $300,000. The jam team left you $100,000 before they took away, you know, whatever. They left you $100,000. You guys put in $100,000 last fall, and I put in about over $100,000 in leftover salt and fuel money from last year. So we have over $300,000 that I'm aware of that is in the highway reserve that is available to purchase these two trucks so that we can plow snow this winter and patrol the road. If you don't want to, you know, you just say so, and we'll, you know, proceed with what we have. It's all we can do. But I, as far as the patrol truck, I would have to, in my estimation, have to use the newer dump truck that we have to be the patrol vehicle, because I just don't feel comfortable sending somebody out by themselves after dark at night with a vehicle with 176,000 miles on it and the box about ready to part company with the frame. So, you know, and I'm not trying to declare, you know, that the sky is falling, but these trucks put in a lot of effort and over the years, and they get older, and they get rusty, and they get worn out, and they get salt frozen up, and you need to have a replacement program.
Yeah, I know we've got that. I know you showed us last year. Could you get us
every fall you are given a list of all of our equipment, and if you go across to the right, it says a recommended replacement date. And it's based on, you know, certain types of vehicles, 5-year program, the other ones 10-year, some 15, 20. You can change that number. You can arbitrarily change that number. If you think I should keep pickup trucks for 50 years, so be it. But give me the number. We plug it into that.
Do you guys still have that list?
Thing. Well, from last year? You'll be getting a new one shortly. Sure. But that way, you have a plan, and each one of you have a copy of it, and you know what it is. So it shouldn't be a mystery to, you know, budget for it and be prepared for it.
So let me ask you about this truck, the Western Star. This is like the one that John Lathrop drives?
Very similar, yes. It's almost the same truck. I have not sat down to have his specs and those side by side to look for any omissions. I mean, typically, sales outfits, they do what they do. And I want to make it. That Lathrop's truck was a home run. I don't know how we did it, but we got it. We hit a home run. Got a perfect truck. And I want to compare the proposed new truck to make sure that we have another home run. I think we'd be, if we could hit two home runs in a row, that would be awesome. But maybe a triple.
Is there anything that John Lathrop doesn't like about the truck he's driving?
Yeah.
hitting me with, you know, did I come prepared to answer John Lathrop's?
Well, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Okay, you meet with the guys every day. I don't.
He loves his truck, and he thanks me profusely for giving it to him rather than somebody else. Okay. I believe this proposal is for a nearly identical truck. But is there anything else out there that might be even better? Maybe. So I'm not opposed to looking further. I'm saying to you, and this is giving you the price range, so you know what you're up against. And I'm saying that you need to make this choice within the next couple weeks, because right now, if we ordered these trucks tomorrow morning, which is not possible, if we ordered them tomorrow morning, the patrol truck, we probably would have it somewhere around Thanksgiving. The snowplow, probably around the 15th of January. So every day that we drag our feet, you can just add another day onto those two target dates that I just mentioned. I don't know what your feelings are, and you are the board, you control the funds, and you can tell me that I got to run these trucks for another 50 years, or you can say, gosh, I didn't realize they were in that condition, and we got the money, let's do it. If you tell me you want to spend the money on a generator, that's an important thing too. There's hardly anything we do that's not important. We're in town government. We're not a fat, rich community. We're well served with, but we don't have money to throw around. And everything we do, Al's got drainage issues up the nose. I got roads that are need paving. Buildings need work. We need money all the way around.
Did you guys talk about this during your highway meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Are both of these state contracts?
State contracts.
The small truck is on Onondaga County bid. The large truck is on the Oneida County bid. The state, the OGS, is gone. If anybody can be more followed up in the county, it would be the state OGS at this point, because what they did is they married up with NJPA, if you're familiar with that. They made a contract with NJPA to have all of us entities would make the purchase from NJPA, but OGS gets credit for it, and you got to submit paperwork to OGS. And I'm thinking, why would anybody do that when you can go to NJPA directly? You don't need OGS. If they were getting us an additional 10% or something, but I think that going the county bid route, or you can also run your own bid. We can run at any time a municipality can do their own bidding, and Al's had some pretty good luck on some of the bidding that he's just recently done. I'm flabbergasted as to what he's unearthed.
it's almost
like, how could it be?
it's a quarter of $1 million, so
yeah.
Maybe that's something we do. Come up with
find the
item sheet from John Lathrop's truck.
I'm heavily involved with the highway superintendent, state and county organization, and I have not uncovered anybody who got a better deal bidding themselves, except that some of the people from Long Island claim all kinds of things, but Long Island is where you hear a lot of I'm sure Tony's here's a lot of horror stories about Long Island. They have their own unique way of doing business.
Can I just ask a question? Because I'm
sure
I'm a little confused. I'm confused a lot. It's August 3rd, and I don't know I'm not opposed to buying trucks. I definitely want to buy trucks at some point, but I'm curious why we're talking about this now.
Because you guys brought it up.
Well, I know, but there's no difference between August 3rd and January 1st. Did we have a plan to spend any money in 2017?
Every September you get that. And we talked at length about it at budget time. And
no, it was not budgeted this year. It was not a budget item
specifically omitted from this year, much to my protest.
Unfortunately, we are down a patrol truck at this point in time, so I think that's what Gene is bringing to our attention, is we're down a patrol truck. The backup patrol truck has 176,000 miles.
Even if I didn't spoil the other truck, that truck had 125,000 miles on it and was rusty as hell. It was not in prime condition. What I've told you since March is that get a new patrol truck, and I'll drive the one with the 176,000 miles. Right now, I'm driving my car. Why?
That was a situation that was unexpected,
unforeseen. Okay. You know.
And the reason this came up, Bob, is because we were getting into budget season. Mode. So we talked to Gene at the highway committee meeting about budgetary items, and that's when trucks came.
Yeah, so I'm giving you an.
And the other problem you have is lead time. Yeah, because you can't just go out and buy one.
Right.
For the dealers, he says you don't get it till next year.
Lead time is extensive.
No, and I guess my quick reaction to it is it would be appropriate to buy a patrol truck to replace the one that unexpectedly, you know, got totaled.
Actually, the patrol truck didn't get wrecked. It was
Superintendent's
truck.
But
the superintendent's truck could be used as a patrol truck.
And it was. That's why it had so many miles on it.
So unexpected.
I didn't take that home like you normally would. I always left
so
it.
So we could make the argument to ourselves we should replace that in 2017 because we're down a truck. But we had no plans to replace anything else in 2017. Now, if the situation has changed in our heads that all of a sudden by August we're thinking differently than we thought in January, that's what's on the table here. But
back at budget time, things were kind of bleak. We didn't really know if we had enough money to buy groceries.
No, that's not true, Gene. Well, we have $200,000 in the bank.
That's not very much when you're talking about.
That's my point. It's not a lot,
right? And that's what we're saying.
And they'll be 300.
I hear where you're. I know where you're going. A truck. We lost a truck unexpectedly.
Yeah.
There's a better case to be made that we need a patrol truck now because of the unexpected loss of the pickup truck.
No question about it.
I would say that, though, we follow a regular process when we order a truck through budgeting, like we would. The situation...
A big truck, you're saying.
A big truck. It worked.
Went 2 years now. It's 2 years. It's not 1 year. It's 2 years. It's already gone by.
But where we're at right now is we have 9 trucks that can plow snow.
We have 9 trucks.
And we have 7 roofs.
Last year, height of the winter, the one International was in the shop for 6 weeks in the heart of the winter.
So then we only had one backup.
That was Andy's truck that was down, okay. Bruce's truck went down later, but it was not quite as long, but just as serious.
Right.
So I'm saying I get what our plan was at budget time, but at budget time we couldn't foresee that I was going to have that other 120,000 that you didn't, you know. That,
okay, but
so now you got the money.
One thing we're talking different is we have set aside a total of $200,000 for truck purchases.
Because that's all you had.
You had a surplus, and it went into the highway
fund balance, separate account.
So it's available. It doesn't say that can only be used for salt. It can be used for any purpose that you guys deem appropriate. And I'm saying you got the money, buy the damn truck and make sure, buy yourself an insurance policy that I can buy, that I can plow snow. Yes, I have 9 plow trucks, okay? And what about the age on them?
All right, I mean, but that argument, it's a valid argument, Gene, and you've made it, and we need to decide whether...
Here's
what I would recommend. I didn't expect we would be talking about this tonight, but I would like a meeting with our comptroller to just, and I don't think we can do it tonight, to just fill us all in on where do we stand financially with the fund balance of the highway department. And is that money accessible to be transferred to a capital account to buy a truck, or should we keep it in the fund balance for the overall picture of the town of Lysander, which it affects all of us? So I'm open-minded. I want to have that meeting, and maybe we can come to some resolution about buying a bigger truck with that money if we're all comfortable with it. In the meantime, I'm not at all uncomfortable with, if you're saying, and we're all collectively agreeing, that replacing the superintendent, the patrol vehicle, is the right thing to do, then okay, let's move in that direction, remembering that they'll short that fund $50,000. Okay, so, but if that's what we want to do, and we think that that's the right thing to do, then let's do it.
Okay, repeat that I'm bringing this up tonight because 2 days ago, these two gentlemen brought it up to me.
It's fine. Remember,
I don't think you believed me when I said I got the numbers, I had them. So I produced them. Now you got it. Now it's in your ballpark.
And remember also that
something else you brought up.
The circumstances surrounding that was budgetary talks. It wasn't.
Regardless, it was a good time to bring it in.
Right, and it's glad. I'm glad you did that. But I want you to understand.
The lawyers say he opened the door, Your Honor.
Well,
there you go.
Very good. Thank you, Gene.
All right. One other thing that you brought up that was really contentious to me, and I had no idea. You just blindsided. Okay. I thought when you asked, and I keep saying to you that I have a $2.4 million business that I'm running single-handed, and I'm giving it great. And you say, yeah, but you want to know what that $2.4 million is being spent on. And I thought for the longest time that you were jerking my chain. So I did a little investigation between Tuesday and now and found out you're out of the loop. You have a controller that publishes that report on a monthly basis, but you don't get a copy from it.
That's not true.
No, it's not true.
That's not true at all.
The ledger.
Right.
They get that report.
No, they don't get the detail sheet.
You just get the list
You get the month end statement that shows you how much was spent in total. Gene's talking about Gene actually gives everyone a sheet that shows you for each account who the money went to.
What was bought, what day, what vendor, the amount?
That's not really what I asked you for, though. What I asked you for was something similar to... So we can clarify it. What I was asking you was a list of the roads...
I tried to respond to what you brought up Tuesday. That's it.
But you're not hearing what we brought up, Gene.
You aren't either.
Okay, what I'm asking for is not, I'm not looking for an item by
getting
item.
Getting from the comptroller.
You're not listening.
Okay, then I'm not going to. Getting it from him.
What I am asking for is not an item by item list of what you are purchasing. What I am asking you for is when you give us a pavement management plan, it tells us what streets you want to...
That's another subject.
You're not listening.
That's a whole other subject.
I'm asking for. But you're not listening.
You're right.
Please.
I'm not. I'm
please listen. Just for a second.
I heard you, and I've provided it to you, but
no,
you don't seem
no,
to.
No. Gene.
No. That's
sitting down now, okay? I don't want to get upset again.
I don't want you upset, but I do want you to.
My blood
I do want you to understand
I'll
what I'm asking for.
Talk to you offline. Offline.
This is not a bad place.
We'll talk offline. No put sense in tying these guys up.
We had the time. It could have been a productive conversation, but it's not, so let's end it. All right, do you guys have anything else?
You want to go over the, do you want to just pass these out and let them look them over?
No, let's talk about that.
So Dave and I, essentially we modified the spreadsheet that I normally use for debt service calculation for special districts for the spray park based off of the construction estimate that I gave you last week. So this is debt service calculation. For the full bond amount, and then I did a couple other ones for reduced percentages of the total construction cost. I did one with a $150,000 reduction. And one with a $250,000 reduction.
Here, you just pass them around that way.
Sure, yeah. Take one and pass them around.
Take one down, pass them around.
Ready to about very little.
There you go.
Per thousand?
Yes.
So there's three sheets of paper I'm looking at?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if we bonded the full estimated amount, you're looking at 3.69 cents per thousand. If we bonded for
$150,000 less, or took $150,000 out of the park fund,
you're looking at 2 cents, 2.57 cents per thousand. And if we bond for 245,
which would be $250,000 in whether it be grant funding, a proportion of grant funding, and yeah,
you're looking at 1.83 cents per thousand. So that just gives, this is because now we're starting to boil this down to a point where we've got pretty solid cost estimate on it, and from here we're gonna start putting together the overall concept, hopefully get some sketches and start going to the public, go to elected officials, look for grant opportunities, public-private partnerships, and you know, hopefully it gets to a point where we're below a penny per thousand.
Okay, so if you
these interest rates are high.
And this is extremely conservative. What was your interest rate?
3.5. All
right. Okay, so if it was a $200,000 reduction and we had to borrow $345,000, I want to make sure my math is right. That's 26 cents a thousand?
No, 2.6.
2.6 cents per thousand.
Okay. And that's for 10 years. And
correct. Then we're done. So on a $100,000 house, that would be
$2 and
20. Yeah, it'd be 20 or
26.
$26. Yeah, times 10 years. So
26.
No. Sorry. It's so it'd be 2.6 times 100. Yeah,
26 dollars. Right.
Times 100.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Actually, no. Where are we on this, David?
$2.60.
On a $200,000, on a $100,000 home.
Should be $2.60.
$2.60. That's what I was right.
Okay.
Keep in mind. Let me just.
So over 10 years, it's $26.
And let me just tell you that, as you said to Al, we just sold a bond up in Hastings for 1.4%. So. It's like half of what we're looking at here.
Oh.
Bond rates right now are ideal. How long they're going to last that way, who knows, but they're pretty cheap right now.
So to put that, and so that it was clear on tape, when we say conservative interest rates, the interest rate that's being proposed on these sheets is about twice as high as what we would expect at this time if we were to go to market with a bond.
This is a much smaller bond amount too. I mean, that was a one point.
We did a 1.4 million, but it's smaller bond amounts, you get the banks all just buying themselves. They don't have to go on the market. So
smaller bonds usually have higher interest rates.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've talked to David about, if we do go with a 10 year, I think it would be worth the premium, and sometimes it's a quarter point premium, to go with a product that allows you no penalty early payoff. A lot of times we come into money, and obviously we want to retire debt as soon as possible. You don't want to be punished by it. So it's always been beneficial in my time serving on boards to pay that extra small premium so that we can retire debt early. Again, I think real good news, positive news. You know, I think you start talking these numbers to people, the type of opportunity it brings our parks programs, an investment in a park that really hasn't seen a huge investment in over two decades. What it brings to the community as far as, you know, recreation, it ties in with what we've been working on, that pivot to outdoor activities. You know, we see a successful model of it in Camillus. We mentioned it. Tony had a very successful event last weekend in the park. He had 40 tents at the Lysander Community Campout. That's up from what, 12, 13, 14 last year? 15 tents last year. We asked the folks out in the audience what they would think about, you know, having a Lysander Community Campout next year with a spray park next door to them. Ecstatic. People were really happy about it. So now what we need to do is work with park attacks, and we need some visual concepts. And so now we got an idea of worst case scenarios from a borrowing perspective. We boiled down the budget. We know what we're looking at. We know what the impact could be to our tax base. And now the more money we can generate through grants and public-private partnerships, the lower the impact's going to be.
Are we still working on an operational and maintenance plan?
Tony is. Okay. I'm working with Tony on that as well. Again, just to let people know the concepts that we're looking at, we have a parks playground program that's operating right now, where we have anywhere between 15 and 20 kids participating in it. We're looking at redirecting those funds towards this project, which we know is going to be, will have an impact on the park from a maintenance standpoint, and making sure that we have the personnel that we've talked about to make sure that it's clean, that it's safe. And I'm excited with what we've come up with so far. I think probably by the next meeting, Tony will be able to share some of those ideas with you from an operations standpoint.
Well, we got Tony here. Shoot, can we ask him about the gems?
Oh, yeah, perfect. Oh, yeah.
Tony, I don't.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Al. I don't remember this gems program in years past.
Last year was the first year that we did it, and we partnered with the Baldwinsville School District.
Okay.
So GEMS stands for Girls Engaged in Math and Science and Technology. It's a focus group on certain age groups that the school has deemed struggling or at the age where they start to see a decline in math and science and technology. So this program is to help encourage girls to continue the math, the sciences, the program and that thing. And that's where we're partnering with the Baldwinsville School District. Last year we put them on a voucher to pay for them. This year we're just putting them on payroll.
But why are we doing this? I mean, I think it's a commendable program, but isn't this the school?
They came to us. They actually, because they can't charge for the program, they got to go outside the school district to do it.
So is this program paid for by fees?
Yep.
Oh, so the town is not liable for any of this?
No. We've covered all our costs on that, and we're actually making money on the program.
Oh, okay. Oh, so good.
The fees that we're proposing is that's their pay rate of what they would be making hourly as a teacher.
So the participants pay for the program.
Right now we got 50 plus girls in it. We can take up to 80. Last year we sold out. We were on the news for the program as well.
Oh, I think it's a great program. It's nice to hear that we're not doing the school system's job.
We're kind of like the middleman. We take the registration, we handle the money, and then we pay the instructors. And the school provides a certificate of insurance, and we're covered under the school as well with the additional insurance.
So, and the, so the bottom line rationale was that the school cannot charge to do a program. Like,
basically,
they can't charge
yes.
participants, but we can.
Right. So they asked to partner with us.
Great.
And they're hosting it. They have the teachers that they provided the teachers. We're just kind of the middleman.
Nice. Good job.
Yeah. Any other questions for Tony? It's a great program.
Thank you, sir.
I'm
sorry.
Thank you.
What's the hours that these students attend in terms of total?
Is it a week? Isn't it a week long?
It's a week long program. I think the hours are on there. Yeah, it's a week long program. I want to say it's from 9 till 2 or something like that. I can look up the hours.
5 to 25 hours.
Sounds like that. Sounds right.
Their
fee is $80 a student.
Tony, on that, have you, since it's such a successful program, have we thought about trying to come up with a way to fund maybe a certain number of scholarships available to kids that don't have the resources?
Certain schools have funding for stuff like that, and they've... we have actually two kids attending our playground program that are coming through scholarships that the school are providing through their counselors.
Okay.
How about GEMS? Anyone?
What about GEMS?
We have not provided scholarships, but the thing is counselors do have funding. If they wanted to send girls, they would have to reach out to their guidance counselor or whatever, and they can get funding.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking, if you had organizations like Kiwanis or Rotary that would want to fund an $80 scholarship to send.
Absolutely, we would take that. Peace also does scholarships. The local Peace down in, what is it, Nobles Plaza there.
Okay.
So there are organizations that will give out scholarships to do that, but no one has contacted us to do so. So
I think it's worth reaching out to.
Yeah. I can think about maybe for next year.
It's the thing is like having the girls that, it's not so much looking to find the organizations that will do the scholarships, it's having the girls that need it. No one has come to us and said they needed the scholarship.
Right, right. I'm sure there are, though. I'm sure there's...
Oh, I bet.
We can look into it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to end this work session at 6:50. Sorry about that.